Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Thursday. Hope you're all having a great day wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Thank you for being here on Cheesehead TV, trying to connect Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. That's what we're all about any day, every day, including a day that saw the Packers back out on the practice field a day later than usual since they play Monday night. There was no practice or availability yesterday, but they were back out there today. Dontayvion Wicks was a limited participant. He was back out on the practice field. Very good to see that. Unfortunately, Lucas Van Ness still not practicing. Must be one humdinger of a foot injury he's got there, because he can't even get on the practice field to do limited work. Disappointing, no question about it, but onwards and upwards with everybody else. Going to be interesting to see how things progress throughout the week at the kicker position, with Matt LaFleur indicating that both Brandon McManus and Harvisek will be out there kicking today. Sounds like it's an open competition, folks. They're going to take the week and then go with the guy they feel best about. Hey, where was this 2 weeks ago? I don't know, but it's out there now. Going to be, like I said, pretty interesting to see how that develops over the course of the week. As the Packers prepare to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that, yes, beat the Packers twice last year, coming off their bye week, and prior to that, had a big victory over one of their division rivals in the New York Giants, a team that they lost to 2 weeks previous to that, looking very different on that night than they did in the comfortable confines of their stadium in Philadelphia. I do think this is a big, big test for the Packers defense, as far as an offense that features a lot of the same players that did give them a whole bunch of trouble last year. Although, I do think Hafley and company did a much better job in that second go-around in the playoff game, particularly when they had Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper playing together somewhat for the first time after a long stretch of both guys being hurt down the back half of 2024. They certainly seem to play well together in Hafley's scheme, especially given what the Eagles were trying to do. But of course, they have a new offensive coordinator, and things are quite different on offense for the Eagles this year. They are not the dominant ground game that they had been throughout 2024. Although that last Giants game, they did seem to unlock a little something. Barkley went over for over 100 yards for the first time all year. The offensive line seemed to play its best game in the run game. And you can bet, after watching the Packers give up what they gave up on the ground to the Carolina Panthers, they will undoubtedly be testing the Packers front early and often. And I know the frustrations will be prevalent on Monday night as we watch Barkley and the run game get going, because I think it will. And I do think it's going to be understandable if you're sitting there thinking, got to commit numbers, you got to pack the box, etc. The Eagles are way too much of a matchup nightmare everywhere in the passing game for the Packers to get out of their kind of, yeah, they don't always play too high shell, but they're, you know, deep shell. And I suspect they're going to play a mix of coverages, a lot of different looks for Jalen Hurts to try and decipher in the passing game. And like I said, they did a decent job of that in the playoff game. But yeah, there are going to be moments in this game throughout that there will be frustrations, and the Eagles will probably move the ball on the ground. And Hafley is going to have to fight the temptation to pack the box, to bring bodies in. Because once that happens, and this Eagles team is given any inkling of a one-on-one opportunity anywhere, and I'm not just talking the obvious like A.J. Brown situation with any of the Packers' defensive backs, but their tight end is a problem. The running back out of the backfield is a problem in the passing game, not just with the ball in his hand in the running game. There is no way that the Packers survive a game where they dare the Eagles to beat them one-on-one, because they most likely will. So, like I said, it's going to be a game where I suspect we're going to be frustrated as fans watching a team that is not, quote, very aggressive. I don't expect a lot of pressures, not even simulated pressures. Maybe we see a bit more of McKinney down by the line of scrimmage like we saw against the Panthers, but we'll still, despite that, I would expect three deep coverage, the two corners sinking down deep, back deep, safety, probably Evan Williams there deep in the middle third, and trying to keep everything in front of them and then make plays in the red zone. I just don't see a way that the Packers come out on top on defense if they try to quote, get aggressive. And that term can do a lot of get a lot of mileage, obviously, depending on your definition. But I don't doubt for a moment that the Packers can limit what the Eagles do on the scoreboard, but they have to be patient. They're absolutely going to have to be patient in this game. And look, I think Halfley has been, maybe to a fault against other teams, but against this team, I think it will serve him well. I really do. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everybody in the comment section. Everybody mixing it up. Before we get to your questions and comments, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. Whether it's high school football or high-stakes healthcare, ThetaCare delivers excellence on and off the field to 17 Wisconsin counties. Trusted care, hometown heart, ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV.
Expertise follows inspiration. That's why more than a dozen of the nation's top cardiovascular specialists have chosen ThetaCare as their destination to deliver exceptional care. By infusing local care with new expertise throughout ThetaCare, we're creating a healthier future for all. Meet the experts at ThetaCare.org/heart.
All right, folks, let's get to your questions and comments. What's going on here? Mimsy starting us off. What's going on, Mimsy? Green Bay must win for the 50th anniversary of Edmund Fitzgerald. Yes, I'm sure the locker room will rally around that cry. I love this chat. David, what's going on, man? Nags, are we cooked? Tell me we're not cooked. David, this is your first day on the chat this week? Come on, David. No, the Packers are not cooked. They had a bad game, no doubt about it. But they are far from cooked, sir. Nay, they are simmering. Let's say that. No, the Packers are not cooked. They're going to look exponentially better on Monday night than they did last Sunday against the Panthers. Now, will they win the game? That's why we watch. But yes, the Packers will give them a fight and absolutely be in this one in a way they weren't against the Panthers. And then long term, there are 9 games left, my guy. What you are on November 2nd is not the tail of your season. A lot of ball game left there, David. Come on now. Joe, what's up, man? Who's next man up after Nixon and Valentine? Yes, Nate Hobbs not practicing today. I know Ryan Wood reported that he's dealing with an MCL issue and is most likely to miss the next 2 games at least. Bo Melton is your man. Should be next up after Nixon and Valentine. And I'm excited to see it. He had a really good summer. Played very well both in camp and the preseason. I think he could surprise a lot of people. And we'll most likely get an opportunity to see that on Monday night. Though I do think there's also a chance that we see more Bullard and or even Oladapo at safety, and they run 3 safety looks with Williams, McKinney, and Oladapo. There's a lot of different ways they could go about, you know, cobbling together whatever they want in the defensive backfield. But Nate Hobbs will miss the next 2 weeks at least. Cheeto, what's going on, man? I want to Panthers the Eagles. You know what I mean? I do know what you mean, and that's probably a good approach. Though, you know, the Packers trying to hunt for big plays is, you know, kind of anathema to that approach. But I'm totally with you. Run the ball, possess the ball, shorten the game, leave that Eagles offense on the sideline. I'm all about that life. Now, you got to do 2 things. You got to convert on 3rd downs, catch the ball, you know, convert on 3rd, probably 3rd and short particularly. And then B, don't shoot yourselves in the foot. Execute. Execution is going to be monster in this game because you cannot afford to get behind the sticks against Vic Fangio and company. Cannot do it. So there's no doubt that the Packers will try to put together, you know, some elongated drives because getting up over the top against this Eagles defense is very difficult. Now, I know they did have the one big explosive to Jaden Reed down there in Brazil, but more often than not, it is very difficult to generate deep explosive plays against this team. Not to say it's impossible. You know, if Dontavian Wicks actually stacks Darius Slay on that throw up the right sideline, he's got a chance there in the playoff game. But more often than not, they are going to have that kind of too high shell to put a cover on everything, and you're going to have to work and make sure you execute and stay out of the sticks for 9, 10, 11 plays in a row. That's, you know, the Packers have been very inconsistent in that regard, but when they've been able to do it, they've been very effective. And I suspect they're going to need to do that, you know, on Monday night. Cheeto, yeah, you know what I mean. I do. Don Vito, what's up, man? Lose to the Panthers, beat the Eagles, have no idea who the pack actually is. Yep, math checks out. They could. Look, they could lose to the Eagles and look great doing it. And everyone will talk about no moral victories or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they'll be at worst case, either still in first place or just out of it. You got to keep playing each and every week. Focus on that week. Beat your next opponent. The rest will take care of itself. That's all that matters. That's why I was saying immediately after that Panthers game, it sucks, man. You got to take a week eating shit online from other fan bases, but ultimately it doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot. All that matters is the next game, and the next game is a big one, but that's all it is the next game. Pogs, what's up, man? How simple or complex will the protection plan have to be to mitigate what they put on tape with the running clock downs so low before the snap? Pogs, I'm glad you brought that up. I actually talked to Mason Crosby about that today on his radio show. One of the things I think they're going to have to do after that performance against the Panthers, where the Panthers really took advantage of the clock getting down to one or even zero, because then they know you have to snap the ball. And we talked about this quite a bit when Rodgers was in town, right? Teams being able to pin their ears back. We saw this in the NFC Championship game against the Buccaneers. If you continuously take that play clock down to 2-1-0 seconds, that defensive front absolutely is going to come screaming off the ball when you snap it, because they know you have to, right? We saw this happen last year in Detroit, where they, you know, obviously they lost. It was too little too late. They did come alive on offense, but especially early in that game, the Lions did a phenomenal job of just triggering right at the end of the play clock, regardless, because they knew it's either we're going to get off really quickly or they're going to have to take a penalty for not snapping it. And it really played havoc with the Packers offense early in that game. You fast forward to the next week in Seattle, they came out in that game and they went crazy tempo. I mean, not just as far as between plays, but in and out of the huddle, getting the call in really quick, getting out of the huddle up to the line of scrimmage and snapping the ball right away with like 12 seconds still on the play clock. That was a way, especially on the road, to kind of take away that possibility from the defense. And being at home, I think they'll still utilize snap count, cadence, whatever. But I do also think they will probably, especially on third downs, which is where the Panthers really made them pay, I suspect you'll see a bit more tempo just to try to keep that defensive front neutered as far as being able to get off just as fast, if not faster than your offensive line. Because again, yeah, the Panthers gave them hell in that regard. And that's an easy fix. It's something you can do. Just get up there, snap the ball right away, and get, you know, go to town. And I do think we'll see some of that on Monday night. Eric, what's up, man? Nags, my daughter was born Tuesday. Green Bay gained another cheesehead. Let's beat Philly. Congratulations, Eric. Hope everyone is healthy, happy, chilling, having a great week. Really, really happy for you, man. And thanks for sharing the news with us, man. Go Pack, go. Mario, how are you? Is there any improvement on the offensive line? Why has it been so up and down this season? Because mostly they've been in and out with personnel. Banks has actually played better, much better, down this kind of course of the last 2+ games. It really sucks that he had to go out in the last game with that stinger after playing 9 snaps. But over the course of the last like 2-3 games, he's played well. But mostly it's due to like the shuffled personnel in and out every week, etc., not being able to get time on task in one position for a lot of these guys. That, and I also think, you know, you can't sugarcoat it. Elgton Jenkins has been a disappointment at center. It all starts there, and he has not been what they would hope. Now, that doesn't mean he's playing terribly, but he certainly hasn't been a major improvement over Josh Myers, which is a sentence I just said, and it's true. So, yeah, there's, you know, hope still, because there's a lot of games left to play, a lot of time on task, a lot of, you know, what do they call it, banked reps for these guys to get together, but they got to be able to stay on the field. And right now that just has not happened. And the other part, of course, is they're asking a lot of guys to play lots of different positions. The fact that Sean Ryan came in off the bench last week, or off the rotation last week, and was inserted at left guard where Jordan Morgan had been playing previously early in the year. Jordan Morgan seems to play much better on the left side, but being stuck on the right side just feels like there's a lot of, you know, disparate moving parts. And this is kind of the NFL. Like, that's the other part that you can't really dismiss. We talked about it this offseason. The Packers were incredibly lucky last season because they were so healthy up front. They, you know, had most of their games were the same five throughout the season. Not the entirety, though they had moments here or there, but for the most part, those guys all played together all year long. And it didn't really bite them until the playoff game when Elgton Jenkins went down. But, you know, you fast forward to this season, this is much more what the NFL is about, is having to mix and match and move guys around. Hell, the Panthers came into that game in Lambeau last week banged up, and then they lost two dudes during the game, and they still ran all over the Packers. It's way more about execution than it is anything as far as, like, who's playing where and all that. At some point, these players have to play better on a down-in and down-out, you know, occasion in this scheme, whatever they're being asked to do, whether it is the run blocking, whether it is the power stuff, or it's more zone stuff. Regardless, they have to play better. And it's easy to say that. It's a hell of a lot harder for these guys to do it week in and week out. We will see. We shall see. Don Vito, what's up? I can hear it already. Why is Melton on A.J. Brown? Probably see that at some point. Ed, what's up, man? Looking forward to our D-line having an outstanding night. Ed, I really hope so. I mean, look, you can bet the Eagles are going to try and run it early and often in this game. They're going to try and maybe not replicate exactly what the Panthers did, but they're certainly going to want to run between the tackles and make the Packers stop them. You know, they have not been very successful in that regard this year, as opposed to what they would do in last year on the ground. But coming off that game against the Giants and now looking at what the Panthers did to them on the ground, you can bet the Eagles will take that approach. And if the Packers can stop the run in any way, shape, or form, I like their chances against this offensive line, which has not been the elite unit that we saw in Philadelphia last season. Doesn't mean they're bad, because they're not. But Micah Parsons and company should be able to generate some pressure against this front if they're ever allowed to pin their ears back on a third and long type situation, right? But it all starts with that running game, and that is going to be the key. Dustin, what's up? I hate to say it, but it may be time to go five wide. Yeah, someone on Twitter the other day was like, can we get a why run when you can win shirt? Which, for those of you who haven't been with Cheesehead TV for the 17, 18 years we've been around, back in the day, back 2010, 2011, Corey and I would get really frustrated at McCarthy continuing to try to run the football, especially in 2011 when Rodgers was at the height of his powers and he was throwing, you know, all over the yard every single week. And so that was kind of the hook for Cheesehead TV. Back then it was, why run when you can win, you know? And now you fast forward, and of course now we have the run the fucking ball shirts, and I'm very much a cranky old man and I want him to run the ball more. But yeah, Dustin, it might be time. Spread it out. Let Jordan Love cook. And I'm not, you know, I'm somewhat tongue-in-cheek there, but yeah, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. I don't hate the idea, especially, you know, if it's in lieu of running out of the gun repeatedly. There's time and a place for everything. Every part of the playbook is open and fine. But yeah, I wouldn't mind Jordan Love getting in some spread empty stuff, which, funnily enough, they didn't do a ton of last year until the playoff game against Philadelphia. They utilized empty quite a bit in that game. Maybe there's something there that they really like against Fangio's defense that they get back to Monday night with a full complement, or a much fuller complement, of wide receivers. Don't forget, Christian Watson didn't play in that playoff game. He did play down in Brazil, and Mitchell got him early, but he also scored a touchdown in that game and contributed in a lot of different ways that were certainly missed in the playoff game. So I'm excited, to say the least. Very excited. Don Vito, how you doing, man? Is it time to put Jenkins back at guard? Back-to-back chats brought to you by ThetaCare. funnily enough, Mason Crosby asked me this on the radio today. the problem with that, and I don't hate the idea, but are you putting him at right guard? He's played left guard for the last couple of years, and now you're going to put him at right guard most likely because you paid Aaron Banks to come be your left guard, and he's only played left guard. So I don't know. Yeah, it's possible. And then you're putting Sean Ryan at center. Is Sean Ryan an upgrade over Elgton Jenkins at center? I get Jenkins has been a disappointment, but is there a possibility that Sean Ryan takes you even further backwards? I don't know. I think Sean had a fine summer, but I just, you know, situation of being a starter week in and week out against frontline guys in the NFL, is he an upgrade? If you're moving Jenkins to guard, yeah, maybe. But I doubt any of that happens. I think they'll stay the course, as it were, and Jenkins will probably play the entire year at center, would be my guess. But, you know, we've certainly seen that they're not afraid to move guys around. If there's a staff that's going to do it, it's this one. Doug Hype, what's up? Five wide means five carry the G cream ales per game. Boy, you said it.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be. So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
Carry the G cream ale, the official beer of Cheesehead TV. I like this idea. Five per game, huh? I try to limit myself to one per half just so I don't get, like, you know, indecipherable on the watch party, but that might be a good one. Dustin, what's going on, man? Love that you caught the throwback reference. Oh, why run when you can win, man? Let's go five wide. Let's do it, baby. I'm all in. I am all in. Mr. Tundra just bought a case today. Love it, brother. Let me see here. Nags, is it pronounced Wiley or Wile, aka the new tight end? It's Wiley, Joseph. Which, as I said to Corey, you can bet if he does anything on Monday night, or really at any point this year, I will call him Noah Wiley while we're on watch party. That's not his name, but that's how you say his last name. You say Wiley. So I know I will call him Noah Wiley at some point. That's going to happen. So I apologize to him in advance. Can we get a Nagler at Night UCL football show? I don't think anybody wants that, but you know what? Just because you said it, and I just love this intro. Oh, yeah. You know it's coming. Let's hit it. God, that brings back some memories right there. Memories. Oh no, Pack Daddy. I'm hesitant to acknowledge this. What's going on here? Nags, you were in my dreams last night. You lived in a big house, not in a city, that was a gathering place for the Cheesehead TV faithful, and you served beer and had a bookstore in your house. Prophetic. I don't think I'd ever live in a place where everyone in the world who, you know, whether they enjoyed Cheesehead TV or not, was welcome, and I just poured beer. I might do something someday where I live in a place with a bookstore. I'm down with that idea. But work that serves as a public space? Yeah, no, I doubt it. I would tend to doubt it. Paul, what's up? Bad loss, Nags. You can set your clock. Matt's cliche conferences. I get it. Winning is hard, but come on, Pack. It's a lot going on there, Paul. Yeah, it was a bad loss. No question about it. I suspect they're going to look 10 times better on Monday night. And then you probably won't care about the post-game presser. It is funny how people are always like, I can set my watch by the cliches of Matt's presser if they lose, the it starts with me stuff, which of course you can. And I get it. Absolutely 1,000%. But no one ever talks about the cliches when they win, man. He's a cliche machine. Most coaches are. It's what they do. You know, every once in a while, you'll get some insight or maybe actually a revealing answer. But 90% of the stuff at NFL podiums is, you know, set your watch by it stuff. David, hey, Nags, were you surprised Gutekunst was quiet at the trade deadline? No, I was not. As I said, I think it was Tuesday. You know, they've got a top quarterback contract. They traded for two first round picks and a player for Micah Parsons, who they then turned around and promptly made the highest paid non-quarterback ever. So they have a, you know, mega premium edge contract, and they just paid Zach Tom, their right tackle, premium dollars. So that's just three people at the top of their debt, you know, their salary cap chart, who are getting top of the market money. And there are several other guys who are also getting paid very well. This is a team that when they traded for Parsons, they opened up a championship window beyond 2025. The idea being they should win a championship by 2028. But to do so, they are going to need cheap labor. They're going to watch guys walk out the door because you can't pay everybody. And they need to be filling constantly, not just the back end of their roster, but guys who are going to be expected to contribute right away. And a lot of that, most of that, is going to have to come to the draft. So, you know, if there had been a player available who they thought seriously upgraded them on the roster that they could get for a reasonable price, they may have, you know, pulled that trigger. But there's nobody that was going to be available who was going to, you know, make a monster difference on this team for what they were going to have to give, like in comparison to what they were going to have to give up. I know people see the Sauce Gardner thing and, well, we needed a corner or whatever. They, the Colts, gave them, the Jets, two first round picks for a corner. I mean, that makes, that's crazy, first of all. And one of the biggest reasons they're able to do that, because they're going to have to pay him, is because they're paying Daniel Jones quarterback money, not top five quarterback money. You know, there's a lot of levels to it, but short answer is no, not surprised. Need a Cheesehead TV soundtrack in the store. That's not a bad idea. We need all the Cheesehead TV audio on vinyl. That's what we have to do. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough. Hanging out each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.